From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Morning Edition.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on in, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's Tuesday, April 16th.
So let's get your Tuesday started.
A pause in people's day is not as significant as not being able to find food.
Basically, this is not fair for, you know, a lot of people that are going to work. You know, they're trying to, you know, make some money.
Battling for a cause while also giving drivers a headache during the Bay Area commute. Protests shut down our bridges for hours. But will these protesters face tougher charges this time around? A Portola pledge, the music festival coming back to San Francisco and wants to prevent another noisy nuisance.
Kind of ironic, just everything that was built up to that Game 7. This is technically a Game 7 type environment in the same building, so we got to do it again.
Can we expect to see another vintage Steph performance tonight? The Dubs leader ready for the Kings as we count down to tip-off.
Oh, I'm so excited that we have so many fun things to do on a Tuesday night. I'm Nicole Zalumis, ready for some hoops. Oh, me too. The nap has been planned today, so I can stay up a little late and watch the Dubs do their thing. I'm Gianna Franco.
Do you have a 49ers blanket that you get under? We need to get you one, if not.
Well, I got to get a Warriors blanket today.
Warriors blanket. We're talking about the 49er.
Oh, my God. We're
talking about the license plates over on the other channel. Yeah, forgive me.
That was one of Warriors. Those moments, too, where I'm like, where's he going with this right now?
Yeah. Do you have a 49ers license plate and a Warriors blanket?
And that's what you call a tease for the story coming up. Because if you don't have a 49ers license plate, we have all the details.
That's what you call a save after a fumble, taking a live look outside on this Tuesday morning. I know the difference. I really, really do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And
good morning to all of you. We are looking across the waters, and we are just seeing north, south, east, west. It's just downright nice weather. And bringing Jess in. Jess, I planted my tomatoes yesterday. I was so proud. I was like a farmer.
Oh, awesome. And hey, at least you didn't get like the Sharks mixed up with the Giants or anything. You know what I mean?
How about those A's?
Oh, go A's.
We're just doing the Rolodex now.
All right, guys, let's take a quick look at what's going on outside. It is a beautiful, beautiful day for us here in the Bay Area. And what I mean by that is it's dry. We're seeing daytime highs starting to warm up more and more each day this week. And it's all thanks to just a system of high pressure sitting offshore, changing the winds, moving in from the north very lightly into this afternoon. Wind speeds anywhere up to around, gosh, like 5-10 miles per hour this morning. It's a beautiful light start to the day, and we'll continue to warm up into the 70s later into this afternoon for our daytime highs. 80s in the forecast by tomorrow, but 70s already puts us above average. I mean, 77 degrees near Concord, that's sitting 6 degrees above average off into the East Bay, close to 10 already down in San Jose. Now, it's been a very active wet season for us here in the Bay Area, and here widespread throughout the state of California and stretching up into the Pacific Northwest. In total, our West Coast has seen 51 atmospheric rivers this season alone. But now we're starting to talk about a little bit of a dry break, and that's actually exciting news for us. We're going to see dry skies all week long this week. We're going to be seeing daytime highs rise as well, and it's going to be a beautiful forecast for us to get out there and get some fresh air. Reed made the comment, of course, that if you want to go out there and garden, this is the week to be doing it. We're already off to a clear start down in the Santa Clara Valley. A little bit of a mix of sun and clouds in the forecast for us throughout most of the Bay into this afternoon. And we'll have more on your forecast coming up in just a bit. Daytime highs today down in the Santa Clara Valley, sitting in the upper 70s. It's going to be a gorgeous one heading into the afternoon hours. Now over to you, G.
Jessica, thank you. Let's talk about those freeways right now as you get up and at them and out the door on this Tuesday morning. You're going to deal with a few brake lights. Pretty typical ride, though, here at the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza. Metering lights are officially on, and we're seeing a slow and go ride as you head over into San Francisco this morning. East Shore Freeway is our slowest approach right now for anyone making that ride westbound 80 as you work your way towards the Bay Bridge. That is a little sluggish. Okay, we're tapping some brake lights along 880 southbound as you work your way from that 238 Castro Valley Y area, getting into Hayward and heading south of there down into Union City over towards Fremont. No crashes to get in your way through here, but it's getting crowded. It's also crowded south 680 out of Pleasanton, then opens up nicely if you're headed all the way south of there towards Fremont. And a quick live look here at the San Mateo Bridge, where you can see that right-hand side of your screen, those are those taillights heading westbound. That's a commute direction for most people in the morning as they head over towards 101. Well, you might have been caught in this mess yesterday. Hundreds of protesters shut down these major Bay Area arteries, 880 in Oakland and the Golden Gate Bridge, to draw attention to the war in Gaza. Some even using chains and barrels filled with concrete to block the road. And we asked one of the protesters on 880 about their message yesterday.
They want to say that they're condemning what's happening, what Israel's doing, saying they want Israel to be nicer and kill fewer civilians. At the same time, they are giving them bombs and money.
The shutdowns lasted into the early afternoon before CHP was able to get all the lanes reopened. We know some of you were stuck in your cars for more than 4 hours.
At the beginning with, I was kind of afraid. I didn't know what was going on. You know, I was afraid for my life. This is not fair for, you know, a lot of people. They go to work, you know, they're trying to, you know, make some money, and look what happened.
So while the CHP had their attention on 880, there was another group that took over the Golden Gate Bridge. Highway Patrol said they thought something like this might happen, but they didn't really know specific plans, and organizers were very clear that this action was not the last. A spokesperson told us what's expected to come next.
We're going to keep pushing until people pay attention. We know from our history that people's actions work, and they won't listen to us unless we hit them where it hurts, which is in the economic region.
And as the hours dragged on, people really had no choice but to wait it out. Although some were sympathetic to the protesters' actions, some were also very frustrated.
Like, yes, it's an inconvenience, but it's also an inconvenience to be a human being in Gaza.
And when you have this level of a disruption to our whole transportation system, I think we need to draw a line.
Well, CHP says they arrested 26 protesters at the bridge demonstration. 4 cars were impounded, and those arrested are facing multiple charges, including unlawful assembly. Now, as crazy as this traffic blockage was, this really wasn't the first time a Gaza protest of this magnitude has happened. We've seen it once before, Reed.
Well, yeah, the Bay Area became a national story last year in the later part of the year. In fact, in November, you saw this during the APEC summit. These protesters took over the Bay Bridge. That time, as well as this time, calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Protesters on the Bay Bridge snarled traffic for hours, and there were ramifications that many people who were stuck in that traffic experienced. They were serious. Case in point, UCFS, UCSF transplant organs were delayed because they couldn't get over the bridge. Protesters got what critics said at the time was just a slap on the wrist in court. That's the so-called Bay Bridge 78. They met with cheers as they walked out of that San Francisco courtroom, avoiding jail time and getting a deal to just do community service and pay a small amount of restitution money. Well, 78 there, this time 38 arrested at both the Golden Gate Bridge and the 880. But this time, many say this new group will face some more aggressive charges. And our Sean Chitness is live at the Golden Gate Bridge. The sun is coming up right now. And Sean, the conversation is about stricter penalties for these protesters and perhaps the difficulty in staffing the response.
Right, Reed, a lot of different factors here. We will also have to see how this plays out compared to other places in the country. It could all just be relative. But it is nice to see traffic moving in both directions at this hour. Quite the difference from what we saw yesterday. So let's talk about some of the charges we know the protesters are facing in these different cases here. They include unlawful assembly, resisting an officer, conspiracy, and false imprisonment. That is the new charge we haven't seen before. That is because all the people were stuck in their cars for hours. It speaks to how carefully the protesters prepared for all of this, making sure it was as difficult as possible to remove them. They used both heavy chains and barrels filled with cement to do that. The CHP was quick to get in position on the Bay Bridge during all of this, but experts say they can only be so proactive with their current staffing.
Every single law enforcement agency in California is shorthanded. And the more that we put these folks in a position where they're sitting idly on a bridge, the more they can be doing things more productive elsewhere. So that's sort of a double-edged sword and a personnel manpower challenge that they have to deal with.
That's former FBI Special Agent Jeff Harp. He was actually one of the commuters caught up in the traffic yesterday. He says another thing that makes these kinds of protests tough to get ahead of, we're not seeing as much planning on social media. Now it's all really happening on encrypted channels. And while some lawyers are going to consider that charge of false imprisonment excessive, we are told by some experts that if you look at what is happening elsewhere in the country with protesters and the charges they are facing, it will end up being lenient. Reed, back to you.
Sean, we will be there for every one of the court appearances. Thank you so much.
Well, we didn't just see protests on our bridges. This demonstration in the South Bay got tense for a few moments. This was outside the Tesla factory in Fremont last night. Protesters caravaned there, also part of the nationwide day of action, demanding a ceasefire in Gaza and an end to all U.S. aid to Israel.
I see so many people I know that just keep just going back to their daily life because they don't want to deal with it. We're just going to keep saying, no, we're still here. You know, you can't just turn your eye away from this.
Than just the Bay Area either. We saw protests all over the country, like at Seattle's airport and the Brooklyn Bridge in New York. And in Chicago, a protest outside of O'Hare forced travelers to get out of their cars and walk just to make it inside. As for the cause the protesters are focused on, there are reports the Israeli military is delaying its planned ground invasion into the southern Gaza city of Rafah. An estimated 1.4 million Palestinian civilians are sheltered there after fleeing the fighting elsewhere. We brought you the continuing live coverage of the protest shutdowns throughout the morning on air and streaming on CBS News Bay Area. We also have continuing coverage on our website at kpix.com.